Hello, class. Good to see each of you again through our virtual class session. And I trust that this year has been a blessing to you, this being your last year in Ever Increasing Word Training Center School of Ministry. We trust God that we'll be able to see you guys for graduation. I don't know any specifics of whether or not we'll have one this year or not, but that's left up in the hands of the apostle. But I know I will be seeing you guys sometime in the future, and I trust that the things you've learned, you're going to definitely put them into practice. We're going to start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the service. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I thank you, Lord God, for each student and every person. I thank you, Lord God, that we have had a successful semester. Even though we were totally virtual, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, there's no time nor distance in the spirit. So, Lord God, they received fresh revelation from each and every instructor, each and every class, Lord God, hallelujah. And each and every student is well equipped to do the work of the ministry which God had called them to do. We thank you for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., who is the visionary and president of this Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We bless his family. We thank you right now that the blessings of God profusely abound in his life. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I'm trusting him to show up in this last class session, because if he don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I'm leaning completely and totally on him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, class, one thing I want to point out is in your review for your final, if you take the last three class sessions, the last two plus this one, what I've actually done was actually review your exams for those quarters. So your questions are coming from your exams from each quarter. So this is going to be a continuation of the last two semester exams for this spring semester. So you shouldn't have no trouble passing the class. My main purpose is for you to get these basic concepts, these basic principles down so that you can walk in honor on a daily basis. As you grow in walking in honor, God will give you more revelation, more insight, more wisdom on how you specifically as an individual can walk in more honor or be more honorable like Jabez was. But once you have the basis, you can go anywhere you want to go. One thing about a good foundation, when you get a good solid foundation, you can build upon that foundation as high as you want to go. All right, let me go ahead on and start. One of the things we talked about, and you've heard me say this several times, and this is to me one of the most important statements or principles or concept in this class. The anointing of God always flows down from the head to every part of the body. When you position yourself and align yourself properly, and honor the apostolic source that God has placed in your life, that anointing that's on his life will come down upon you and elevate you to another level. So always remember this, the anointing of God will always flow down, but it's very important for you to properly align and position yourself where God has called you to be. So you're honoring who God's called. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So you want to make sure that God is building your house properly. And the first key element is recognizing that anointing is flowing down. And once you know who God has assigned and appointed you to, you align yourself properly to that pastor, that apostle, and stay in position. And you can't help but walk, show honor and walk in honor. Amen. Another very familiar scripture, as I've said many, many times in these class sessions, I repeat things over and over, but one of the things that blessed me more so than anything else was when I see a student years later, they come back and they'll quote various aspects of the class or certain things I might said, certain illustrations I might have done in the class, and they'll quote it back word for word, and some of them will say, you know, just this right there transformed or changed my life, and I was going in the wrong direction, but you said some things, I made some adjustments, and now I'm walking in complete and total honor. But anyway, in Matthew 13:57, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. He is literally saying that familiarity in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. So you never want to become too familiar with your man of God. You never want to become buddy-buddy with him. You know, there's always a level of respect and honor. You know, you always respect the ranks and the position that God has placed your pastor in, or your apostle, or your prophet in, and you receive better when you stay in the proper alignment and recognizing that you know you just can't get too close to him, because it's hard for somebody to speak into your life when you know y'all always going fishing or y'all always hanging out together and you become buddy-buddy. You know, but there should be a separation there. And that separation denotes honor, denotes elevation, denotes position. And you respect the anointing that's on their life. Amen. Glory to God. Let me move on. Here's another one. We've talked about it before, but you're going to see it on the test. Sons and daughters must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing and the honor that they need. Sons must honor and respect and acknowledge that the Father has been sent to empower and to convey and to transfer the impartation that they need. So one more time. Sons must recognize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing. Sons must honor and respect and acknowledge that the Father has been sent and empowered by God to convey and to transfer the impartation they need. That's what a spiritual father, and that's what it's all about. When you have a spiritual father or a pastor or someone who's speaking into your life, they're sent by God to convey and to put in you everything that you need. All right, let's move on. The scripture says, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. This scripture shows an example of serving to produce honor. And that's a true statement. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. That word waited doesn't mean just sitting around waiting for them to tell you to do something. That waiting is like a waiter serving at a restaurant. A good waiter will always get a good tip, because he'll never let your glass go empty. He'll always watch and see, and he'll come by and ask you if your food, was it prepared right? How does it taste? Do you need anything? Salt, pepper, you know, any spices or what have you? They'll watch, and when you're ready, when you're done, you know, they'll bring the ticket and they'll say, it's no rush, but whenever you get ready, you know, I'll come and pick up your card and pay for it. Do you want drinks to go? You know, a good waiter. So you want to be a good servant to your man of God. You want to wait upon him, you know, because as you wait upon him and you serve him properly, just like the scripture says, whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. You're keeping God, you're protecting God's anointing, and you're going to eat the fruits that the man of God is pouring out, that God is putting in his life, you know. And he that waited upon his master can't help but be honored. Amen. Let me move on. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about a loyal assistant. A good loyal assistant in ministry can be compared to an ambassador who does not push their own agenda or ideas or vision, but only those of their pastor. So you want to be a good loyal assistant, and like I said, a good loyal assistant is compared to an ambassador. When you talk about an ambassador to a country, they only push the agenda and the policies of that country. They represent, you know, the ambassador, the United States ambassador to the UN. He represents the country, our country, and our policies, you know, and he pushes our agenda, not his own personal agenda. You know, a lot of times in ministry, people, they want to put attention on themselves by pushing their own personal agenda or ulterior motives. That's a true sign of a separatist, somebody who's there and they have an ulterior motive. They're serving, but they're looking at ways where they could push their own agenda, push their own format. Whenever my pastor or my man of God, who's Apostle Thompson, makes a turn, I make a turn. You know, I shared before there were times where he turned that I didn't see the turn quick enough, and I had to turn around and run and catch up. But you always want to stay close behind your man of God. Watch what he's, whenever I'm called upon to minister or do anything, I try to stay in the same format, in the same agenda of what I've been taught or what he's teaching on, because, you know, it's not about me, but it's about me fulfilling the will of God for my life in serving my man of God. Amen. Let me move on. Okay. Another good point along these same lines: all pastors should be under and submit to an apostle. This is God's proper order, a proper divine order, so that the flow of anointing can flow down to everyone properly. So all pastors must be submitted to an apostle or a prophet. In other words, have somebody who can speak into their lives, a spiritual father. I, knowing what I know, and I've said this before, I couldn't sit under a pastor who doesn't have an apostle or a prophet who they submit to, who's their spiritual father, someone who could speak into their lives. I know too much, and I know that the anointing flows down, and God has generals out there where he gives the generals marching orders. The generals take that, and they give it to the next in command, and that next in command may be a pastor of a church, but he's getting his orders from his apostle or his prophet. And that flow of anointing, as I stated earlier, is just coming down. And no matter where you are in that chain of command, you're going to get everything you need. You're going to get everything you need. You remember me talking weeks ago, about how when I first got out of college, I wanted to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. The Lord spoke to me very sternly and told me, no, that's not my will for your life. And so I stayed in the local area. But the Lord eventually, one day, my wife and I, in visiting Word of Life, I went there. And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me, this is where you need to be. My wife and I, the very next week, joined the church. The same year, the School of Ministry started. Just the same, you're in Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. Back then, it was called Word Life Christian Center School of Ministry. I was a part of that charter class. I guess to make a long story short again, because of the fact that I submitted and found my man of God, I never forget one day I was at a meeting. That Kenan Hagin was there before he went home to be the Lord. An apostle was sitting under him, and I was sitting right next to apostle. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I know you wanted to follow this man who was ministering, but I've called you to follow your man of God. You know, and he's following Kennedy Hagin. So whatever he's getting from Kennedy Hagin, he's teaching it to you. So you're getting everything that you need, you know, getting back to that scripture. The anointing always flows down from the head all the way to every joint, to however, and that's how God gets what he wants to get to you. But it's important for you to stay in alignment with your assignment so that you can get everything that you need. And so, you know, I mean, that was just so vivid to me when that happened that day. That's been 25, almost 30 years ago. But you know, I tried to stay faithful to my assignment and faithful to my man of God, and God has blessed me because of that. All right, let's move on. Praise God. When you become offended, now we're going to talk a little bit about offense. When you become offended, you offend and stop the process of recovery that God wants to do in your life. You know, you never want to allow a situation. You might be in a confrontation or, you know, don't see eye to eye with an individual or even your pastor, but you never want to become offended. Because once you become offended, you off-end the process of what God, the recovery and the lesson God wants to teach you so that you can be on the backside of that, you can become stronger, walk in more wisdom, walk in more boldness, walk in more anointing. You know, I've seen too many people become offended and they didn't deal with it. One of the things I always tell people, never let the sun go down on your wrath. If you have a beef or something that you and an individual can't work out, you know, get it straight before the sun goes down, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, and it'll keep you from walking in the honor that God wants you to walk in. It'll keep you from honoring your man of God that God's called you to honor, but it'll also keep you out of honor. Amen. And I'm not going to get into it because I got many more questions I want to go over, but never become offended, because it will offend the process of that recovery. Amen. All right. Without loyalty, we're talking about loyalty now. Without loyalty being the core of every network or organization of churches, there will be constant competition, competitive jealousy, dissension, and finally, disintegration. All right? So without loyal being the core of every network, you know, when I say a network or organization, you know, Ever Increasing Word Training Center, that's an organization. LTMA, that's an organization, you know. But loyalty has to be at the core of that, because if it's not, before you know it, there's going to be competitive jealousy. There's going to be, I'll never forget, like I shared before, when I was a charter student in the School of Ministry, there was some competition or some competitive jealousy about who was going to give certain addresses or go up to the podium and speak on behalf of their class. You know, I don't really know what happened, but I knew there were some things that transpired. I stayed out of it. I was asked to do the retrospective, and then all of a sudden I was off the program. Then 3 or 4 days later, they called me back and said, "You're back on program." And then after it was all said and done, I heard there was some people thought they should have been, you know, but stay out of that. The Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the north, nor the south, nor the east, nor the west. Promotion come from the Lord. A good friend of mine always uses this illustration or this statement. He said, "I'm just happy to be here, you know, and I was just glad just to be in the number, you know. I mean, I graduated, and I wasn't even concerned about what my grade was. I was just, you know, because as long as I got the information down in my spirit, you know, I was good, because now I got a foundation that I could grow with, and that's so very important. Amen." All right, let me move on. Never forget this. Hurts, we're still on the same topic. Hurts, offenses, and unresolved conflict will usher good, God-fearing, church-going people down the road of disloyalty, which will cause them eventually to walk in dishonor. So never forget this. Hurts, offenses, and unresolved conflict. Just said about not letting the sun go down on your wrath will cause unresolved conflict will usher a good God-fearing person down the road of dishonor, and if it doesn't get corrected soon enough, it'll lead them into dishonor. Amen. Let me move on. Okay, now we're talking about, if you remember, we talked about several different stages of disloyalty. It just don't happen. You know, it starts off, there's a passivity, there's an independent spirit, but there's also another spirit that goes aligned with a person before they get totally into this disloyalty, leading into dishonor, and that's a critical spirit, or the critical stage. The critical stage notices and magnifies faults, errors, shortcomings of other members, even the pastor, he or she finds fault in everything. They'll find fault in the preaching of the word. They'll find fault in the order of the service, whatever. You know, a person who begins to have a critical eye, you know, that's they're leading themselves in the down the road of being disloyal. And if it's not corrected, they will eventually walk in dishonor. You know, so if you ever see yourself becoming overly critical of decisions that's made from the top, you need to check yourself, you know, because that, you know, if it's not corrected, it can be detrimental to your spiritual development. Amen. Let's move on. Here's another very important another very important point that I've stated before, and I'm stating again. This is based on Genesis 8 and 22. It says, sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle based on the law of sowing, the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. And it is backed by the scripture, Genesis 8 and 22. So sowing seeds of honor or sowing seeds, you know, of honor is an established kingdom principle. You know, that's a spiritual law. When you put a spiritual law in operation, it will produce for you every time. You know, that's a fact. I can't state it or understate it any more than that. But that is a complete and absolute fact. Amen? All right, let's move on. Lost my podium a little bit. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Elijah and Elijah. As you know, Elijah followed his man of God, Elisha. And he stuck with his man of God for, I think it was over 18 years. He served Elijah. The Bible says that Elijah poured water on Elijah's hand. And whatever or wherever Elijah went, Elijah was with him. And that's so very important. But the scripture said that, you know, the Lord told Elijah to cast his mantle on Elijah. And then after he did that, then Elijah told him, look, let me go and tell my family goodbye and take care of a few chores, and then I'll follow you. Elisha never told Elisha to follow him. That's got to be something God tells you to do. You know, yeah, God bring you to that anointing or bring you to that brook. And it's something about that man of God, that apostle, that prophet, that all of a sudden it's kind of like, wow, they got something I need. Elijah saw that Elijah had something that he needed. You know, when that mantle was cast upon him, he felt that anointing. He felt the call that he had on his life. And God said, you need to connect to this. All right. With all that said, Elijah followed after Elijah to serve him. He waited upon him. Okay. Elisha's mantle, which represents the anointing, was cast upon Elijah. He began at that point preparing for ministry by following Elijah. And the key point to this is you must pursue your man of God. Your man of God will not pursue you. You know, God will call you to a brook, or to, when I say a brook, to a place of nourishment, to a place of rest, to a ministry that God's hand is upon for you to connect to that ministry, connect to your spiritual father, connect to your pastor. And by doing so, you're following them. You know, anytime you have a pastor or, you know, a prophet or apostle who starts searching out for children, you know, how can I say this? It should be that they have something on them that's recognizable, that's tangible, that the son or the daughter will recognize and see it. And God will speak to your heart and says, you know, this is who you need to follow. When the Lord spoke to my heart that day, when my wife and I visited Word of Life, he said, this is where you need to be. You know, and anytime I had any issues with anything, that time would always resonate back in my memory. This is where you need to be. And I said, Lord, you didn't tell me to leave. I'm not going nowhere. I'm sticking close like Elisha, stuck close to Elisha. I'm sticking close to my man of God because this is where I need to be. Don't let offenses, don't get the big head thinking it's time for me to move on. No, when it's time, you know, and your man of God will know. And even when you move out and launch on your own, you stay connected. It's never about disconnecting. The worst thing you can do that will dishonor you is to disconnect and think that you got everything that you need. No, that's always more. There is always more. So never get that idea or that impression. Amen. All right. Looking good on my time, and we may not use all of it, but I wanted to make sure that I get these questions in that's going to be on the test so you'll do well. Amen? All right, let's move on. When you are commissioned, now we're talking about commission. A commissioning is a calling, is an appointment, okay? When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered, granted authority, and sent out. You are authorized by God and God's governmental delegated authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is proper order of the kingdom of God. So, and that's a true statement. When you are commissioned, you know, never go out on your own without your man of God's blessing upon your life. Never go out on your own. Always ask permission. And a lot of times when I've been asked to speak at various churches or various events, you know, in a ministerial capacity, and I've called headquarters, and they say, okay, well, we'll let Apostle know, and he'll get back with you. There were times he never got back with me. But even before the deadline, something on the inside of me let me know, you don't need to be doing this. I remember one particular instance very, very vividly where an LTA member, a pastor, wanted me to come to his church, and we were doing something new at Word of Life in the area of cells or circles, and he wanted me to come and, you know, share about how we set it up at Word of Life. Initially, I was excited about it, but then eventually the Lord said, no, that's not your place. You know, he needs to follow the chain of command. You know, so I called him, and then I put a call in the headquarters, and they said, no, we'll talk with him about it, and we'll get it set up, you know. And I backed away. There was another situation where I was called to minister or asked to minister at a church. But then that same Sunday, my Apostle Leroy Thompson, had called a special meeting for the leadership. You know, but I got an itinerant ministry date set up that same day. And you know, yeah, I might have got, you know, compensated for it, but on the inside of me, who did I call you to follow? What are you going there for? Are you going there just for the money? When your man of God has called a special meeting before church that you need to be to, so I called him. I said, look, Apostle called a special meeting for the leadership, and I need to be there. So you're gonna have to get somebody else. I can't do that service for you. You know, those little that's how you stay in honor. These are things, I'm gonna be honest with you, that yeah, I could teach it. A lot of things cannot necessarily be taught. They got to be caught, and you gotta understand. You know, never go after money. Never go after money. Money need to be coming. Money, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked that was laid up is now coming to you. You know, so I don't go after money. I go after God. I go after my assignment. And all my needs are met in Jesus' name. You know, but you know, that's so very important. Let me move on. Amen. All right, getting back to what I just said, another key element. What is the biggest assignment you will fulfill in your life? What is the biggest assignment you will fulfill in your life? The biggest assignment that you will ever fulfill in your life as a Christian is fulfilling the will of God for your life. You know, whatever that is, and however small you might think that is, it's not small. There's no small assignments in the kingdom of God. There's only the right assignment. You know, if you work in the nursery, and you work in the nursery your whole life, you know, and you say, I really wish, no, God's anointed. You have a special anointing for it that God has graced you with, and you're being a service to your man of God. And somebody who might have a higher position, maybe as an elder in the church, you know, guess what? Your rewards are going to be just as good. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. When you fulfill your assignment and your calling and do the will of God for your life, there's blessings upon blessings that's going to be bestowed upon you because of your faithfulness and your obedience to the call and the submission to your man of God. So the biggest assignment that you will ever fulfill in your life is fulfilling the will of God for your life. Amen? That's going to be the biggest assignment that you're going to ever do. And there was another statement I wanted to bring out. This scripture here goes in with it. It's not going to be on the test, but the scripture says, "For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts that lack." And that's, I want to say that's 1 Corinthians 12 and 24. You know, God has tempered the body together, given more abundant honor to the parts that lack. In other words, the things you think that are insignificant, they actually have more abundant honor, you know, because it takes, you know, there's a level of humility to do certain things, you know, and with that comes, before honor comes humility. So never think that what I'm doing is so mundane. No. Because you're doing the will of God for your life. And as I just stated, God is no respecter of persons. You're bringing honor to your man of God. You're bringing honor to yourself by fulfilling what God's called you to do. And when you stay in your assignment and align up with that assignment, promotion is going to be at your heels. But you're doing it as unto the Lord, not for yourself, not for a show, but you're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen? All right, I wanted to definitely point that out. All right, here's another one. Getting back to the same, well, here's another scripture that I want to point out too. The Bible says to neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hands, by the presbytery. Don't neglect the gift, whatever talent, whatever ability, because you see, that brings honor to God when you fulfill God's will for your life, and it also brings honor to you. So, you know, don't neglect that. You know, like I said, every good gift, every perfect gift coming down from the Father of life. You know, you want to fulfill the will of God for your life, and don't neglect what that gift. Don't neglect what God has blessed you with, amen? Because it was given to you by God so that you can do the work of the ministry, so that you can fulfill your role in the body of Christ. Amen? All right. What was the difference between the 70 disciples that went out and the sons of Sceva who was, let me read it again. What was the difference between the 70 disciples that Jesus sent out and the sons of Sceva who went out? The difference was that the 70 disciples were appointed and called and commissioned by Jesus. Jesus laid hands on them. Jesus sent them out. They did not just go out on their own. They were commissioned, assigned, and appointed by Jesus to go out and to be a witness for him. And they came back with reports of that, you know, how even the evil spirits were subject unto thy name. Why? Because Jesus had given them his name, had commissioned them, and they were authorized. They were authorized ambassadors for Jesus. So they were packing the anointing that Jesus has as they went out to fulfill their assignment. But with the sons of Skenan, they saw people operating in the anointing and the blessings of God, and they said, "Well, I can do that too." All right, yeah. And what happened to them? The demons leashed out on them and tore their clothes off of them, and they was all scratched up and beat up. Why? Because they went out; they weren't sent out. Always make sure that you are sent by your man of God, by delegated authority. You know, I'll never minister anywhere without getting proper permission from my man of God. You know, and when he commissions me or even gives me an assignment, I know that the anointing that's on his life is backing me. It's almost like when Elijah threw his mantle on Elijah. Elijah felt something. I know he felt something. There's been times an apostle walked up to me, put his hand on my shoulder. It was, you know, a lot of people could be touching me, but I know and I recognize that anointing, you know. And that anointing is there to empower you, you know. And you see, another thing too, don't allow your frailties, your insufficiencies, and your weaknesses to you know, to hold you back. Because when I first became an instructor and I was given this assignment, after I would finish a class session, I would be driving home saying, "Lord, I don't know if I could do this." You know, it didn't seem like, but it was, that was my insufficiencies talking. But I had to recognize, apostle appointed me to this. You know, if he appointed me to this, what's on him, it's got to come on me for me to carry out the assignment. So, it you know, all I got to do is yield properly and do what I've been assigned to do, and then allow that anointing to come up on me so that I could minister in that capacity. And that, you know, that's the difference. That's the difference. I didn't send myself. I was sent. Amen. That's so very important. Let's move on. Okay. A covenant is designed to eliminate weakness. When you come in covenant with your pastor, your apostle, you there's an exchange that takes place. You know, these scriptures are all in line. Your weakness is, you know, and you see, we're in covenant with Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross and we accepted his blood by accepting him as our personal Lord and Savior, we came in a blood covenant relationship. So all that God is, all that God has, all that God can do is now, Alexis, stop. I got 2 minutes. All that God is, all that God has, all that God can do now is a part of who you are, you know, because there's an exchange that takes place in a covenant. Your insufficiencies, your weaknesses, your insecurities, now you exchange it with all of God's ability. And you operate, and the Bible says you actually changed into another man. When you operate, and you see, that brings honor to God. Because it's really not about you, but it's about you fulfilling the will of God for your life and honoring those whom God has called you to serve under. Amen? All right. I got one more that I want to cover. Okay? To reap the reward of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. Never disconnect. Don't be like the other sons of the prophet who followed from a distance, being secret disciples. I'm going to read it again. To reap. Now, if you want to reap the rewards of honor, to reap the rewards of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. Don't necessarily become too familiar with him, but stay close to, under his anointing. Stay under his coattail. You know, what I mean by that is follow him. When he's in a certain city, if you can make it there, you need to be there. You know, if he's teaching, you can follow him on the internet, follow him on YouTube, on all of these social media networks that we're on. You know, stay close. You know, to reap the rewards of honor, we must stay close to our man of God. Never disconnect. Don't be like the sons of the prophet who followed from a distance, being secret disciples, but the only one of them got a double portion, and that was Elijah. Amen. With that, I'm going to go ahead and conclude. It has been an honor, a privilege, and a blessing to minister to and to teach this class. I thank God for this opportunity, and I trust that I've been a blessing in some way. And hopefully in this last two semesters, you've picked up something that has enhanced, fortified you, and showed you areas that you might need to improve on in your walk in honoring your man of God, honoring your pastor, so that you can reap the rewards of honor in your life. And I'm looking forward to see each and every one of you in the future. And just let me know that, hey, I was in your class, Brother Reverend Calhoun, and I'll definitely look forward to those times of where we can really fellowship.